I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Got it.
Hello, mate.
You recording?
Yep.
Thank God for that.
Live and direct.
Because if you weren't recording, people quite literally couldn't hear it.
I know. It's mad,
yeah.
That, isn't it?
Mad, isn't it? Yeah.
Mad. I'm recording on tape tracks.
Nice. Yeah, I've got a little DAT-to-DAT system.
Nice, little four-track setup.
Yeah, reel-to-reel, but with that sort of thing.
The guitar plugged in.
Yeah, just in case.
The only way.
You never know when you need the strings.
Yeah. Powerful tool, the string.
Oh God, yeah, powerful tool, the guitar in general. Do you know what I mean? Did you know the guitar stemmed from the hammer?
Really?
Yeah, that's why they called it the axe.
Oh, right, yeah. Nothing to do with the shape of the sort of metal ones or anything.
Nah.
Yeah,
don't overthink it.
No, you're right. No. Just accept and move with it.
How you feeling?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. Talking of hearing, how's your ears?
Better. Much better, actually. Nice. Yeah.
Got them sorted?
Yeah, we're good. I can hear everything. Everything sounds a bit glassy, but I quite like it.
Oh, because it's sharp now, boy. That's why.
Yeah. It's all working.
For the listeners out there that are worried, Hugo, did you have some ear issues?
Yeah, I just had a blocked ear, so I went and got it sorted today.
Just one?
Yeah, actually. Mm. But they obviously clean them both because you're paying for it. So you might as well get them both done.
Yeah, exactly. So straight off the train, straight into the podcast. You ready, yeah?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, man.
I think I'm going to rustle up one of my famous intros just off the top of my head. What do you reckon?
Oh, please do. Yeah, I'd love that.
Okay, cool. Today's guest is someone very special.
Mm.
Someone who's probably most known for her affiliation with the word and food, chicken.
Ooh.
Someone who's made a living by dating people. I mean, I've even dated her. We both have, haven't we?
Yeah, double.
Yeah, exactly. Because the people that she's dated, they're not just normal people.
Nah.
They're rap people.
Yeah.
People that people like me and you know just simply as rappers. Yeah.
Mm.
The multi-talented comedy goddess that's not only known for the chicken shop dating, but also writing, presenting, journalizing. What's that? Yeah, it's a term for journalists.
Oh.
It's the hardest working chicken lady in the game. It's Amelia de Moldenburg. Skurbash, churui.
This is nothing more than an intro.
Hello.
Welcome, Amelia. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling good. I'm glad to see you guys. I feel like this is, you know, we're going to have a chat. Aren't we?
We are.
And that's not something I do that often with friends. So I'm very excited.
Yeah,
it's a good excuse.
I feel like I don't sound excited, but I am.
No, but that's just your vibe, isn't it?
I know that is. It's just my vibe.
It would be weird if you tried to sound excited.
I know. And when I do, people just think it's really disingenuous. So it's just really not worth my time to even bother to sound slightly enthusiastic. But there you go.
But you are.
What a great note to start on.
Well, I feel it.
Yeah, I can feel the energy. How has the last year been for you, man? Like, obviously, it's been a weird one and we're all still stuck.
Oh, wow. What a question. Yeah. The last year, let me just boil it down.
Just the whole year. And I want a month by month blow account.
Do you want a month by month? Yeah. Okay, right. I thought you were going to be like, describe the year in three words. You know what? I've been thinking a lot.
Good.
This year, I feel like I've just been thinking so much, and what my thoughts are. I weirdly, when it was the first lockdown, I kind of enjoyed the first lockdown. And I think looking back now, it makes sense that it was mainly because of the weather. And the weather was actually great as soon as lockdown started. And I have a little garden and I've never had a garden before anywhere I've lived. And it was genuinely just so nice to be able to sit outside and eat and just be able to go and even like sunbathe. I think I was the most tanned. I don't really tan. I'm very pale, as you know, spoiler alert. But I and so I think I was the most tanned I've ever been. Which was just great. So yeah, the first lockdown, looking back on it, was actually fine because now I'm comparing it to January and January was just hell. I feel like it was so bad for everyone, just felt the worst ever. So I think in comparison now, looking back, the first and second lockdowns were fine because I'm comparing it to what we've just had.
Yeah, but I wonder if at the time you felt like that. You felt, I wonder if if you felt it was amazing at the time. Actually, maybe you did because you achieved the tan.
Yeah, achieved the tan. Yeah, exactly. But at the time, because I was living, I'm living with my two friends and my sister. So we were really lucky in that sense that we could do stuff together. We were like planning nice things to do in the evening, just make dinner together and watch a film, and we had like each other, so that was really nice. And I think if I was living with my family, or if I was living on my own, or actually even maybe if I was in a relationship and lived just living with my partner, there might have been more tension. Or you can never predict what would happen, but I was actually really lucky that I was living with my friends, so I did like it. But again, it's different. I think my thoughts on it have just changed a lot because of the time. I'm looking back on it now instead of being actually in it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like going on a holiday that you don't really enjoy that much, but you look back going, that was incredible, actually. I loved
it. Yeah.
I loved India.
Oh, I miss it.
Thailand is great. Yeah. Love
wearing
90% of it, you're on the toilet.
I've never been to India.
The same.
I loved it, but I did have it definitely was a struggle at the time. That's why I related
to that. The old Delhi belly.
Yeah, exactly.
Never left you, did it?
Anyway.
yeah. So that's a great start, you know? What about work and stuff like that? Have you been able to, like, I guess, convert what you do?
Well, yeah. So when lockdown happened, luckily, I'd filmed an episode of Chicken Shop Day about 2 weeks before with Chunks and Philly. So I was so happy that I had that to still edit and put out, because my immediate thought when lockdown happened was, oh wow, I'm not going to be able to film, I'm not going to be able to put out any content, and everyone wants to see the content. how would I even go about this? I'm not someone who usually films stuff on my own. I usually require a crew to make my stuff. A team. So
but
I was
Michael
kind
Bay
of
style.
Yeah, exactly. So I was kind of happy that I had that episode, and then once that went out, then the sort of stress and anxiety like came back. What am I going to put out next? Which I have anyway all the time. If I don't have something planned in terms of videos or work, I do get quite anxious not knowing what
I hit that
is going to be next.
Yeah, for sure. I think we all have that in as creatives. It's like you're always looking to what's next kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's just, even if it doesn't end up happening, like, I just like the idea of having the plan, having that stuff in the diary, so you know what you're working towards. Because you can so quickly, personally, when I don't have something planned, I can quickly go to a place in my head, which is like, you are irrelevant. You're never going to get anything ever again. You should basically retire because this is the end of your career.
I think if you don't have those thoughts, though, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, like, for sure.
Or you're just too complacent. Or rich.
Exactly.
One of them.
Yeah, probably too rich. But I do think there is something to be said about trying to minimise those thoughts, which is what I've been trying to do. Because definitely they become too overwhelming at times. And then it's just, it's unnecessary to think that negatively.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
It's a process to get your head out of that mindset.
Yeah.
I've got a good one for you. Just pretend you're Kano, because like he'll go away for like a couple of years, come back, and everything's fine again when he drops out.
Exactly. Yeah. That's so true. And I think that you get to a level where you can just disappear and come back.
Yeah.
But maybe actually it's a myth and it's not a level. But maybe to some
I think
extent.
Kano's rich though. I think he's good. Yeah. I don't think he's worrying about finances.
Yeah.
I mean, he's on Gorillaz albums and all sorts.
My favorite bit, Amelia, is just getting the job and knowing it's in the future. That's my favorite part of it. Just like not the actual work. Just going, I'll be fine, so I can relax now. That's like the best.
The work's overrated.
Yeah.
The phone call's the best part.
Yeah, exactly. And you start assigning where the money's going already.
Yeah.
I've never thought about that, but it's so true. When you get the email from your agent.
Yeah, and you get the sudden rush for your body, like, everything's fine again.
Everything's fine.
Yeah.
It's so true.
Oh, wow.
It's so true.
Yeah.
Why was I worrying?
Yeah, exactly. I am amazing. God. Yeah.
I've got another 6 months. This is great.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a very useful part of the show. For when you need things to do, it's the recommendation part.
So, like, where obviously we've all been at home a lot more than that. Have you got any recommendations for the people, them? Have you been watching, listening, reading even? I've seen you do, which is sick, by the way. I've seen you've been doing breakdowns of...
recommendations.
Of recommendations and stuff on your Instagram. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been loving doing that. I want to carry on doing those because I love... like getting the recommendations list, which means I have to have a reason to be looking at all these different types of things and reading and watching stuff. Yeah. And then I love like putting my own into my own words, like why I liked it and why I think other people would. But yeah, I've been watching and reading loads. So I never used to read that much. Obviously
no,
I can
I
read, but I wouldn't be like buying books and reading novels until lockdown when I got into it. And my friend was part of this book group and she was, oh, do you want to join? And I was like, okay, fine, why not? And then I've started reading quite a lot. So I've been trying to read a book a month and sick. I've been loving it. It's like game changer. I can't believe I haven't read before because especially with lockdown, you just get into a completely different world with whole different people, different scenario, different setting. So And for me, my brain just switches off and I can just really, it's like mindfulness, I guess, when I'm reading.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like reading's a good gauge of how anxious you are because like when you try to read and you keep going over like the one line because you're thinking about something else, or you've read like three pages and you realize you're thinking about something else. It's like training. Like once you read more, you kind of still your mind a little bit, innit? Yeah.
There's something so good though as well about reading. I just feel like you just feel in my bones, I just feel good. Whereas when I'm on my phone scrolling, I can just feel like the color drain out. I'm going gray. And you just feel like your soul is being sucked into the phone. Whereas with the book, I feel like this is going to be so cringe. I feel like the book, you know, it's giving you back something.
Yeah, it's nourishing your soul, Amelia. Come on, that's what we're all thinking. Yeah. And also, it means you're better than everyone because you read.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
You get to start a sentence with, I was reading this book.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that, actually, because I was reading about that in this book that I read, because I read. So,
yeah.
My bookshelf.
Yeah.
Which I have. The next step is for me to be taking all my Zoom calls in front of my bookshelf.
Yeah.
Nice.
I've sort of.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You've got a bookshelf and a plant. Yeah. That's fantastic.
I've got crown paint.
So, brown paint.
I was wondering why you got paint in the background.
Yeah, I've been doing decorating.
You had to take on a few painting, decorating jobs.
I can do it in a day. £200 a day.
Nice.
DM me.
I've been reading. I read this book called My Year of Rest and Relaxation, which was really good. And it was it's about this girl who's living in New York, just before 9/11, and she decides that she wants to sleep for the whole year. The whole book is her on her mission to just basically hibernate for the whole year, the way that the author gets around it is a lot of it is like she's lucid dreaming through because she takes a lot of drugs to get into the state where she can sleep for long periods of time. But it was just really interesting. And it was a really good like portrait of this woman.
It quite relates to last year as well.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And the feeling of isolation. But so I read that. And then I read Where the Cool Dads Sing, which was like this book that was on the bestseller list for like so many weeks that I thought, okay, I'll see what this is about. Now it's being made into a film. Reese Witherspoon's bought the rights from with her production company.
Sick. Yeah.
And now I'm reading Shuggy Bane, which won the Booker Prize.
Yeah, I've got that.
Have you got that?
Yeah.
I've just started it, so I'm only 100 pages in, but I'm really loving it.
I haven't started it yet. Is it written in sort of Glaswegian?
Yeah, it's got...
What do they call it when it's...
Dialect.
I guess.
Or whatever. It's got...
You know what I mean? Yeah.
It sounds Glaswegian.
Sick. Yeah.
In my head. Which gets... I'm still not used to reading it, but the whole book isn't in that language.
Yeah, right. I learned that language because I read a book called Young Team, which was all written like that.
I know there's some books where they have the whole book is with
it's quite different. Sick though. It's like you're learning a skill as well as just reading.
Yeah, that's my next thing. I want to learn a language. I keep saying that though, but
Glaswegian.
I just never do.
Yeah, Glaswegian. Yeah,
I'll put that on the list. I think if I had a superpower, it would be to know every single language in the world.
So you could just be nosy.
Yeah. I think it'd be sick to be able to speak every single language and understand it too.
Yeah.
You would just be able to go anywhere and do whatever you wanted.
And be a local immediately.
Exactly.
But also it's good to see what people are saying about you because I speak Czech, but obviously have, you know what I mean? I've got a completely English accent, so no one even knows. And then like I'll be on the bus and they might be like Czech or Slovakian people. And this one time I remember like them talking about me. Just saying something, I can't remember, not even that bad. And then I was just like listening the whole time. And at the end, I just said goodbye in Czech when I got off the bus. They're like, oh, sorry. And I was like, that's cool. And I was like, that's sick.
That's a win.
That is the best feeling in the world. I feel like that is why I would want to learn a language for that specific reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure, man. And then what about more normal things like watching stuff?
Oh, yeah, that's more normal, more relatable.
Sort of things, yeah.
What have I been watching? Well, obviously, like, in lockdown, I loved watching I May Destroy You.
Yeah, that's sick.
I thought that was just so brilliant. And I need to re-watch it because I think she's so smart and clever with her writing that I've definitely missed so many moments and, like, Easter egg things and things like that.
Yeah, for sure.
So I love that. And then right now I'm watching the new Adam Curtis documentary series.
Oh my God, it's mind-blowing. It's sick.
It is fascinating, but that feels like you're reading a book.
100%, 100%. And do you know what? Like being in lockdown has meant that I've watched so much trash TV as well. So this is like a welcome break, man. I'm like, and I do have that, like you said, like reading a book afterwards. I'm like, God, I feel really intelligent. I'm going to constantly talk to people about this.
Okay.
I was watching the new Adam Curtis thing and they're like,
not
even saying it by the name, just saying it by the director. Then you look like you really know your shit.
Yeah. Who's that?
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. But then I have been hearing from other people, like some people are quite cynical about Adam Curtis documentaries.
Really?
And I think it's quite pretentious to be interested in him. That's what I get the feeling.
Oh, got you. Okay, yeah.
So, I get that vibe.
Yeah, so I'll act like I don't give a shit a little bit as well.
Yeah, and so other people. But then I also think it's pretentious to hate on him too. Like,
100%.
I think it's just this whole circle of it.
Okay,
but
what about this then? What if I enter a conversation and I go, I've seen any good documentaries recently? And they go, no. And I go, oh, I've seen one by Adam Curtis. He's not all that, but it's an amazing documentary, but he's a bit of a prick, but I like him. So see you later.
Exactly. That's perfect.
Perfect. Yeah.
That was just the tone was spot on there.
Yeah. Good.
So I've been watching that. I've got a few more to go, but I definitely feel like I'll be so much wiser once I finish that.
Yeah, for sure.
Leveling up. But and then what else? I've just been watching so much stuff. I watched the Katie Price documentary about her and her.
The one with Harvey and Me, is it?
With Harvey and Me like him moving schools and her having to find a new school. And that was really interesting because it was like...
He's a charmer, Harvey.
He is. He's also...
He's a smooth guy.
He is. So it was great for that reason as well.
I like that he calls her babe all the time.
I know.
Yeah, sick.
I know. I watched the Britney documentary too, Free Britney.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's on my list. Yeah.
That was good.
That was really good. Super sad.
Yeah.
I was such a big Britney fan.
I know nothing about her as well. So
Yeah, I would love to know more about her. I think that was just scratching the surface. But yeah, I was a huge Britney fan growing up.
Yeah, it's very Michael Jackson-y.
Yeah.
Not in the
She's not into kids. I don't think.
Nah.
That was a great documentary series. Leaving Neverland. That was a
Wow.
That was Dark Side, man. That was Jesus so good. Christ. So graphic.
I watched Sound of Metal, Riz Ahmed.
Oh my God. Listen, round of applause for that, man. That's one of the best films I've seen in a while, man. Incredible.
Absolutely. So
I was in bits,
good.
Man. Yeah. So
and
sick.
The story, like everything about it, it was just perfect. Everything about it,
and everyone can relate to it, because it's like, you know, doing something you love and then having whatever you need for it being taken away. Do you know what I mean? So like,
his ears get taken away.
No spoilers, please. I haven't seen it.
His ears get chopped off.
Good.
They don't get chopped off.
Nah, I'm joking. I was trying to like say people.
Get chopped off. Yeah. They get bitten off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
By a dog. It's all about a dog, the film. So
nice. Yeah. Called Metal.
I'm just throwing you off the scent, so don't worry about it.
Good.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was amazing though, man. I was like, I was in tears for so much of it, man. It felt quite cathartic afterwards. Yeah.
I've stopped crying. I've stopped crying in films.
Is it sad all the way through?
No.
Nah. Do you know what it is? It's because I was a drummer back in the day, so it proper hits me, you know? Hits me in my heart.
Oh, what, like Whiplash?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was a jazz drummer. Yeah.
I didn't know this about you.
Yeah, man. I used to be in a jazz band.
Really?
Big time. Like, I toured Europe.
Did you? Mm. What was your band's name?
No, it wasn't mine. It was a school jazz band.
and the school jazz band didn't have a name?
No, they didn't, you know. Probably, I don't know.
Missing a trick.
Yeah. I used to have to wear a white shirt and a bow.
Wow.
Stunning.
Bow tie, sorry. Bow tie, not a bow, a bow tie. Right.
Not in your hair.
I wasn't a present.
If you were in front of a drum set now, do you think you could pick it up quite easily?
Oh God, I'd throw it down. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it does throw it down.
I do feel like I'm just in a flat in London, but you know, touch wood, when I buy a massive mansion in the countryside, I'll get a drum kit again.
Why was that never part of Corrupt?
What, drums? Because you know what it is?
It could be out of character for Grindr.
I know, it's out of character, but it could have been an offshoot.
Somehow he just walks past the drum kit and he's like, give this a go. No, you know what? Because between the age, it was when I was super young, between the ages of like 7 and 12 is when I used to play the drums. And then I found out about weed and graffiti and MC, and then my whole life changed, and even the way I dressed changed. So that's obviously where Hoops to Nothing was inspired by. But, you know, maybe I'll do a film about a guy that goes deaf and play the drums.
Yeah, maybe.
Right, now I know exactly what it's about.
Another.
Thanks, guys.
I think that's in the synopsis anyway, man.
No, that's not ruining anything. No. That,
don't
want to
know
is...
anything.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking.
Ask. If you don't ask, boy, you don't get. Ask.
Well, Amelia, let's take it back, okay? Lie down on the metaphorical sofa, close your eyes. I'm putting a lamp into your face. Wave sounds are on, and I want to know...
Okay.
And there's a lamp in the face. So it's like it's an interrogation, but relaxing as
Sorry,
well.
Sorry, this sounds horrendous. Get me out of it.
It's good. Yeah.
I'm pouring the wax on myself and screaming in your ear. And I just want to know where it all started for you.
Yeah.
What started?
Take the ear candle out and just listen.
I'm distressed in the situation. Have I got wax on me or is it on you?
Yeah, a little bit has fallen onto you, splattered, because I've gone so mental. And then I've also got an ear candle in your
candle.
To clean the wax out from
your
ear. I've
got a clipper and I keep lighting it.
Yeah, yeah. It's all for your benefit. Yeah, all for your benefit. Yeah, yeah.
You've got sage on fire by your feet.
You've paid for this.
Oh, that's what the smell is. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
But like, where did everything start for you? Like, obviously everyone knows you from Chicken Shop Date.
Yeah.
But like, was it journalism really that was kind of your thing?
Well, actually, everything in terms of Chicken Shop Day and stuff I do now started at this youth club in Northwest London, where we made a magazine called The Cut Magazine. And that's actually where I met Marvin, who DJ Fantasy.
Shout out Fanta.
Marby.
Yep.
And so we meet there every Wednesday. And that was when I was in sixth form. So like after school, I would go to the Cut, and we would make this magazine, and everyone there was really into UK rap and grime, and I wasn't. So I was more into, what was I even into at the time? I don't know, like Busted or
oh, were you like one of those people Britney. At the time that's like
Britney,
sort of whatever's on the radio kind of shit?
Yeah, I'm still like that as well. But now like grime and rap is on the radio.
You're more tuned in.
So so that was like where, so I started going there, and at first I think I was writing about fashion, or I don't even know what I was writing about, but I was just, or maybe I wasn't even writing at all, maybe I was just going there and like taking it all in and like seeing what everyone else was doing.
What were
and
you
then,
sorry to interrupt, but in your mind, what was your interest at the time? Like, did you want to be in fashion? Like, is that something?
Well,
that...
I actually wanted to work in magazines, and I was always interested in like media, I guess. But I really wanted to be editor of Vogue.
Wow.
And that was like my ambition. And so my IT teacher saw that there was this magazine club basically going on. And so sent me this email being like, oh, there's this magazine for like young people called The Cut. You should go and you know, see what they're doing, because I know you're interested in like magazines and want to work in that field. We didn't say it like that, but and so that's how I started going. Yes. And then sort of the fashion element went away because everyone there was all about the music.
Yeah.
And from being with everyone there, I then became super interested in it myself. I wanted to interview these musicians that everyone was loving at the time, or like friends of friends of the magazine. So thought of doing a column where it would be a date, the interview would be a date, also because I wanted to go on a date. I hadn't been on a date yet ever. And then
really?
Yeah, and then someone said, oh, you should go on a date where you would never go on a date to make it funnier. So that's how Chicken Shop happened. And then, I started doing the written interview. So I would go to a chicken shop, meet an artist, and then someone would take pictures and I would write it up and it would go in the magazine.
And this is before like YouTube was popping off and stuff like that, right?
Yeah. So I guess YouTube was still, people were still uploading, but people weren't like making content, and even vlogging was like in its infancy. So So that was even before then. But then after doing the column for like a year, I did think, oh, this would be great if it was filmed, because the conversation was really funny and I was already developing this character that I would be when I was there. But it was just about the fact that I didn't know anyone to film stuff. Marvin was a video editor. And so he was always there to edit it. But then we didn't really put two and two together of like who would film it or how we would get the camera kit. We just didn't know how to do that.
Yeah.
Then I was a runner on a music video and met a camera operator and just said, and then it sort of clicked in my head. Oh, right. Okay. Well, I could ask him. So I asked him if he could film it. And he said, yeah, I can borrow some kit and get my friend to be the other camera operator.
Wow.
And then that's when we had... Nice. They're like, okay, we could do this now.
And then, so were you, because it all sounds very proactive and confident, especially for a person of that age. Did you always have that drive? Did you always, because even like, I mean, someone sending you an email, like if someone sent me an email that's trying to be helpful and say, turn up to this magazine, I'd be like, fucking hell, that's quite intense. Like, it's going to be people I don't know, you know, back then. Did you have any of that? I mean, I smoked a lot of weed as well, so that's probably...
No, so I wasn't smoking any weed at the time, which is probably why I went to the magazine club. and you didn't. But no, I've always been incredibly proactive, like from whenever I can remember, like even in primary school, I would be going for any kind of extracurricular activity going, any competition. You know, like those children's shows like Smile and Milkshake and stuff.
Yeah.
Those like back in the day and Blue Peter.
Yeah,
I would be applying to all of the phone-ins, any kind of thing, try and get any sort of badge I was that kind of person.
That's sick. That's impressive.
I don't know why. I just was always been like that. I think maybe I've never been the best in school in academic stuff. I've always been very like average.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the extracurricular stuff was my way of trying to accomplish more.
Yeah, because
I wasn't getting the A's.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like normal school.
Yeah. That's sick. I mean, it's sick that you clock that because a lot of people don't. They just shit at school and then take some years to sort of.
Also, I think the extracurricular stuff also was always way more creative. Mm-hmm. And so that was also what was drawing me to it, rather than the standard school stuff. The other stuff that was on offer and the competitions and all those things, they were always super drawing or writing or thinking of ideas, and I think I've always just been interested in that, so I think that's why as well I was going for those things.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then so when you met that camera operator, what was the next step? What was your first bit of film content?
Well, then me and Marvin went to find a chicken shop, because that was the next thing. We're like, oh well, where are we going to film it? So we went to Chicken Cottage, which has now disappeared in Farringdon, persuaded the owner to let us film there, and then a publicist of Getz messaged me somehow, like contacted the magazine, because this magazine, even though it was made by under 21s, a lot of PRs and agents really liked it because it was by young people, so for their artists to be involved, it was kind of like a community thing. So we did have quite a lot of contacts. Anyway, Getz was promoting a new single, and she said, oh, I've read a few of the columns. Do you want to do a column with him? Oh, the Chicken Shop Day. And I said, oh, well, I'm actually wanting to do a video. Do you think he'd do the first filmed one? And she just said, yeah, he'll do it.
Wow, that's sick. That's starting high, man. Shout out Getz. Shout out his new album. It's amazing. Conflict of Interest.
I know.
Check it out.
Mad because he's got his new album out now. Yeah. And it's like on track to maybe be number one. It's in the top 10 for sure. And it's just so incredible. I was just thinking about it.
And in a way, you've got something to do with that.
Yeah. And I was just thinking that it's because of me.
Yeah.
But I just was thinking, oh, that's mad that he's maybe going to get number one. And he was the first episode and he's still doing so well. It's just,
Would you ever think about doing a part two now that it's like, you've got a whole, your platform's completely different to when it was then and so is he.
Yeah, I was thinking, other people ask about other artists doing part twos, like AJ Tracy, for example, that people always ask to do a part two.
Yeah.
But I just don't think I would ever, because I would be nervous that it wouldn't be as good.
No, but the thing with the Getz one, there's like a story behind, because it was the first one, do you know what I mean? Like, it might kind of make sense, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess maybe.
Second date.
It could be interesting, and it's true. People, usually normal people, do go on second
and he
dates.
Could maybe not remember that he's been on a date with you, and you're like, oh, for fuck's sake.
I mean, that's probably is what would happen.
Really love this platform. What's this about? What? You did this ages ago.
Sort of exactly. Like watching a film you'd watch years ago halfway through. You're like, I swear, I've seen this.
I recognise you. People do that when they see me on the street often. It's like, I know you from
That's the worst.
Somewhere. I don't know. Did I go to school with you?
Yeah, I
hate it when they, like, I don't mind if someone's just like straight away knows. But when they're like, hold on. And they stand there for what feels like 5 minutes, but it's like 30 seconds. And then you're
pointing
like,
at your face.
And you don't want to say, MC Grinder, in case they're like, what? Like, no, wrong person. So
that's
you just stand there waiting.
That's happened to me before when I was at the pub, before they closed. And this group of people were sat there and they were like quite young. And then one of them came over to where I was sat and had a camera and was like, pointing, and I thought he meant like he wanted to take a picture of me and him. Actually, he wanted
I've had that.
To take
so,
a picture
so
of
embarrassing.
He wanted me to take a picture of his friends and him.
Yeah,
it was so embarrassing. I was like, of course, I have a picture with you.
Oh my god, that's amazing. Oh god, here we go. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah.
No. Just take a picture.
I think
of
I
us.
Even said that all to right. my friends. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'll be 1 second.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, well, that's I've had it me. Where. People want a picture with Sipa, Asim, Steve, and then they've given me the phone. And I'm
That's because they don't recognize him, innit?
No, it's happened when they don't. I don't know. I just think that
you're the main guy.
They don't recognize him. A lot of the time, it's happened to like loads of us where we're just standing there and they'll approach one person And then they look around, they're like, oh, fuck. You know what I mean? Because they just expect... I mean, I guess they don't expect us to hang around in real life.
Or it's like, do you know in The Office where he's getting an assistant and there's a man and a woman?
Yeah.
And he and David Brent fancies the woman.
Yeah.
And he takes a quick picture of the guy. And then it's like me and Seapal get the quick picture and they're like, "Ass him."
Yeah.
And then they'll want loads of ass in a video.
Yeah, like all different poses.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But what about, just did a quick one.
Yeah. It's funny because you guys do actually hang out together in real life. So they it must be quite shocking when they just see all of you.
Yeah,
I think
it's, exactly. That's when it's bait. Yeah. And you've got like Steve.
Sort of screaming, laughing.
You've got like a fucking 6'7" guy and you've got my strong eyebrows, Asim's build, you can tell us a mile off.
Yeah.
Hugo's special beard that everyone talks about.
Oh, God, yeah. You know? God, yeah.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, yo!
Yo!
Ha ha!
Ha 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 ha!
Will everybody shut the fuck up?
Settle down, settle down!
You're in tune to the Chatting Shit Podcast!
UK stand up!
The world's greatest!
The best there ever was that ever lived!
Series 2 out now, motherfucker!
Oh gosh!
Ha ha!
Are you ready?
Check it! Check it!
Are you ready?
Check it!
Fucking drilly right now!
Ha!
Did I use that in the right sort of context, mate?
Oh yeah, G, that's calm, G. Like drilly's like, as long as you're on the op block, like...
The what?
Op block, like.
Op block.
Yeah, like, that's like a hot, like... like.
Is that like, out, sort of outside?
Yeah. Yeah, G.
Right,
like, hey, man, like, I don't even know anymore. Man's sannied out, G.
Oh, serious?
Man's in Zanzibar, G.
Oh, that's so calm.
Coach. Anyway, I'll catch you later, G.
Yeah, G, come.
So when you did that first one with Getz, what was it like for you? Like, I've always wondered that, because obviously you play this slightly awkward, sarcastic character. And I know, you know, there's parts of that in you as well. But like, you know, especially on the first
one.
What
do you mean?
Yeah, and I think me and you are pretty similar in the sense of like, we're not our characters, but there are bits of that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
But like, so but how was it when you first had to meet like this grime MC that's from like a completely different world from you, and you're doing this thing that, it's not like you've got like a back catalogue of them, so they get it. Do you know what I mean?
I know. Yeah. I think because I'd done the column before and I'd done about 7 or 10 of the written ones, that was a really good like testing ground for it. And it gave me a lot of confidence when I came to do the filmed episode. Obviously, I was still so nervous for doing the first video with Getz, but because I also produce them myself, a lot of my nerves were actually about production stuff. Mm-hmm. So wondering if he's going to turn up, wondering if the shop will still open for us, if like the camera kit's going to be fine. Mm. All of those things were going around my head that I felt like I didn't really even have that much time to worry about the character. Because of all the other stuff.
And I guess you had like 7 sort of goes at refining it beforehand.
Exactly. And also I prepare the questions beforehand, obviously, with Marvin. Mm-hmm. And so those are where we really like get into what the tone is going to be for that episode, what I'm going to be asking, shaping the questions. So like one of the questions in the Getz episode was, so your name used to be Ghetto, where did the O go? And like, just stuff like the question, like just making sure the questions are funny.
Yeah.
So I'm relying a lot on the questions too. And then it takes the pressure off for me to be all about my reactions. Also, a lot of my reactions are literally nothing, me just staring. And I think that I've got away with, if there is awkward pauses, which you dread in any normal interview, I've made that my thing. So it actually is kind of by accident, because I don't think that I'm not a bubbly person. I don't think that I'm someone that's really I wouldn't say that I'm really chatty, and I can be very awkward. So I think that I just lent into that.
Unless it's 3 in the morning at Warehouse Project.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Well, anyone at 3 in the morning in Warehouse Project isn't themselves, are they?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I would actually love to go to Warehouse Project, even though I said I would never go ever again. But now I would.
Right now, yeah.
I would really go to Warehouse Project.
If they called you up and were like, we need you. We need you to come down.
I would be there with bells on.
Yeah, Getz is here.
Getz is here.
AJ's here.
Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, I think I just did it. I don't know. I just went and just did it.
Did he get it? did he understand?
Yeah. Afterwards, well, he was brilliant first guest, because he just really had fun with it and just didn't take himself seriously and was perfect. And then afterwards, he said, "Oh wow, that was so." He was like, "Oh, it reminds me of like T4 or something you'd watch on like that." And I was like, "Wow, that's such a compliment, because that was my biggest influences was like
it does
world.
Have that vibe."
Yeah, that's so true, because back then they were like the only shows that were doing that sort of like slightly sarcastic, like not overly forced interviews. Do you know what I mean? Like, I used to love that as well. Like,
Simon Amstell, that's such amazing.
Amazing, but
I also think that at the time there wasn't content being made like there is now. Like if you're on a campaign or you're in promotion for your new record, you would be doing like a lot of serious interviews about your music and about your inspiration and just basically nothing like Chicken Shop Date. And now there's so much stuff like BuzzFeed or like all these different things. You see all these celebrities doing these stupid games the weirdest interview formats.
Bin it, keep it or burn it.
Exactly. And at the time, 7 years ago, when I did the first episode, that wasn't around. So I think it was a bit special in that way.
Yeah.
100%.
And I think it still is, but
sure. But also it's a lot tougher to do it back then, in the sense of like, especially with grime MCs and like road rap and that, no one was doing anything funny. Like, to be funny or to like do an interview that's funny was thought of as like, do you know what I mean? Like, everyone wanted to make sure they looked serious and they looked cool. And not that you're making fools out of them.
I'm a serious, credible artist.
Yeah, exactly. So that was like, there was a lot, I don't know, it was a lot more, it was a different climate for that back then as well. So to get them on and to convince them to do that was quite an achievement back then.
And I think also it's just about me sticking to my character and making sure that I just am like that.
Yeah.
And then whatever's put in front of me or like whatever type of guest, it just is going to work, because I'm just very true to me. And then people come back to the show because they want to see, I think because they want to see how my character interacts with the guest.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And how you respond. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
How many episodes have you done now of Chicken Shop? It's been like 7 years, right?
Yeah, it has been 7 years. Oh my gosh.
Wow.
How many have I done? I could probably tell you an exact number, but I think it's like 40 episodes.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
And which one of those was the most tricky?
Ooh.
Tricky.
Like, as in my mind, it's quite a hard thing to do. Like, you're playing this character that's dry as fuck.
Yeah.
And then you're sitting there with rappers, which a lot of rappers are fucking stoned out their mind and silent as well.
Yeah.
So like, which one was the like most painfully awkward?
I feel like I'm literally just looking back now, trying to remind myself who I've been on a date with.
My favorite ones are like when they're super goons and they're just silent, yeah. like 6'7" and people like...
Yeah,
like,
6'7", Heady one was good.
Oh, yeah.
That one was super awkward. Yeah. But I love those. But the thing is, what I was saying before, it's like, if it's awkward, like if everything that's meant to go wrong in an interview happens, it's fine because... That's the show.
That's true. That's
so
true.
I kind of save myself in that way. But I do think that if people come on and think that they can like out dry me or something, then that's when it's a recipe for disaster, because then it's just
it's just silent.
It just doesn't work because I edit them. So I'm going to manipulate it in the way that I want it to be. So you can't really win. But also I think if you come on and you don't just think I'm just going to have fun with this, then it won't work as much. Like other ones that have been tricky, I think the Jammer episode, he was quite hard to interview. And he was also like nearly 3 hours late, which just isn't ideal.
Okay,
Asim's episode. Asim was obviously, it was fantastic. But the thing about that was that the shop was still open. Because it was back when I didn't have any money to pay for anything, so I just asked a favor, and so the shop had to stay open. So every like 10 minutes, people would be coming in and like disturbing the filming, so we'd have to stop filming. So that one was quite tricky to actually film. And also, Asim was getting recognised. It was quite intense, that one.
But also, that's the first one with a written response from the date, right?
Oh, yeah. So, exactly. So, Asim, I told him what questions we were going to say first. Did we do that with your episode too?
Nah, no need.
No. Okay, yeah. Just Asim.
Natural
talent. And also other people, like with Charlie Cooper, because he was playing Curtin.
The character. Yeah.
And Jamie, Dimitri, and also Munya. Yeah, but I love those episodes too. But I think with those episodes, when I'm with other comedians, I feel like I don't perform as well because I just have to let the other person do all the work.
That's the thing, because like in a lot of comedy as well, there's usually the weirdo and then the straight character. And if there's like two weirdo... So I felt that even with when we done ours, Grindr is such a freak that you actually came off, you know, you had to take the slightly more normal role there. Yeah.
But it works really well.
Yeah.
It's just my character changes to be the straight person. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You just have to tweak that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Change the dynamic.
Exactly. But then, the new episode with Slow Tie, he was really great, but he was asking me so many questions. I was like, stop asking questions. I'm asking you questions. Yeah. And it made me think that I actually should do some more work on my character. This is just for my own benefit. But because it is just an exaggeration kind of myself, and I never set out to write a character like in the way that other people would in like comedy series, a lot of the questions about my character's backstory or, you know, things that they would say in a certain situation, I don't know. So when I get quite flummoxed because I'm like, what do
sense.
I think? Like, because sometimes I want to reply, but it's like what Amelia thinks, personally, what would my character think? So I want to go away actually and do a bit more of that because I think it would really help in those situations.
I did that. The first thing I did with Grindr was, and it's just for me to get my own head around it, like I did like a sort of character profile where I go into too much detail and no one gives a shit and almost got told not to bother doing that. But it is really useful for, like you say, because we do improv together, like me and Beats, and he might ask me a question, you know, and it's like, it's kind of good to like know where, I mean, you don't have an answer for everything,
exactly.
But like where your standpoint is as a character, as that character sort of thing, isn't it?
For sure. And I've been doing that with the cooking show that I do now as well on YouTube. So we've only done two episodes, one with Ramesh and one with Maya. I just filmed the third one yesterday. But I wanted to figure out what... So the whole premise of the show is I can't cook and I hate food and I hate flavour and any kind of spice. I have this aversion to cooking and I'm the host of this cooking show. So that's where the comedy comes from. But I wanted to figure out why is it that I don't like cooking? What stopped me? And all these things. And I just spent the day writing the answers to those questions, like stuff like, okay, the reason why I can't cook is because my childhood kitchen was haunted and I would never go in there. Like just stuff like that. So just building up the character. And I think it's going to help me in future episodes.
For sure. And even just like when you're in character, even if you never have to answer those specific questions, you understand your character even more. Do you know what I mean? So it was like...
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we did do that in the beginning as well. I remember doing that. But then my character changed.
Yeah.
Sort of.
We had to... Yeah, of course.
Dramatically. And I didn't work it out. I just winged it.
Exactly. Then that's like an organic way. 10 years later, now you know every answer to your character, obviously.
Yeah. And also the writing and the situation changed for your character. So it made you 100%. Have to change with it.
Yeah, for sure.
Whereas with Chicken Shop Date, it's the same thing happening every time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How was the jump from actually presenting and stuff? And like, because like with your Chicken Shop sort of character, you are, like you say, you've sort of created this world and you are just there. But when you've done the Vice stuff, it's like thinking on your feet and talking to members of the public and stuff. How was that?
Well, the stuff with Vice originally, so I started at Vice as an intern and I was there on a 3-month internship, but I was on the editorial desk, so I was writing for them. Okay. And that was in my third year of uni. But I always wanted to like make a documentary for Vice. I thought that would be the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
So I thought that could be my way in. And then it did end up working out because I made friends or like I made connections when I was there with people. And then the first Vice documentary I did was on the election in I can't remember what year it was.
A few years ago.
A few years ago, it was one of the elections.
The big one.
And I went round the country interviewing people about loads of like different political issues.
Yeah,
and
I
found it so hard. I was really thrown in the deep end, having to interview so many different people in one day, thinking on my feet and turning my brain into this other like sphere. But it was brilliant. But I do find those jobs really hard. And then when I did a documentary with Channel 4 on Meghan Markle and I went to America and to try and get an invite to the wedding of Harry and Meghan by meeting Meghan Markle's family.
That was incredible. I messaged you about it. I loved it so much.
Yeah, it was so brilliant. Like actually, in hindsight, I can't believe that I did that because I haven't done anything on Channel 4 since. apart from Celebrity Come Dine With Me, which was pretty ironic. But yeah, the documentary was just like, when that happened, I was just thought it was unbelievable. I didn't believe it was happening until I was in America. With the cameras. But again, that was another one where I had to be interviewing like 3 different types of people in one day. And then when I was traveling, we would be doing pieces to camera, so it'd be like non-stop 12-hour days, 16-hour days. But it was really intense, and I don't know if I would want to do that as a full-time job.
Okay, I was going to say, but do you also feel like you might have not been able to handle that without doing the Vice stuff? Like it was almost like drip feeding you into that world and then doing like a full length documentary on Channel 4.
Yeah, but I was also just so nervous, and I think that only like in the past year have I become more confident where I enjoy the jobs more because I know I can do it. I just think that I would get so nervous that it would become a really stressful situation. And I think if I were to do a documentary like the Meet the Markles again, I think I would enjoy it a lot more because I would just feel more comfortable because I'm more experienced. I think it just maybe is as simple as that I wasn't experienced enough as I am now.
You didn't come across like that.
Yeah, I was going to say that's in your head. And maybe that's a good thing because maybe that keeps you on your toes. But it also lends itself, like being slightly nervous and sort of like socially, social anxiety, or whatever, that kind of lends itself to your style anyway, because it's not like you're like, hey guys, we're here, you know, like some dead behind the eyes fucking over the top presenter. It kind of lends itself to like your journalist sort of vibe.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always trying to like blend, like have my character come out even in my like journalism work, and have that awkwardness in that, because there's so many incredible like journalists and broadcast journalists that do such a good job of interviewing people in an incredible way that's like very sincere. Why would I ever, I just, what's the point in me trying to do that when so many people do it better?
Yeah.
So it's all, I always just think I'm going to try and do my own unique spin on it, so that I create this sort of, this kind of USP, I guess, for myself.
And do you feel like the being able to live in the painful, awkward silences on Chicken Shop Date has helped you kind of do that if you're like interviewing people sort of thing?
Yeah, definitely.
That's when you get the gold, isn't it?
Yeah, but even people who like, even journalists on like Newsnight and stuff say that they get sometimes get the best when they don't say anything after someone's replied, because it just leaves the person who's being interviewed to say something more that they wouldn't have said before. And it's normally gold. Yeah, as you said.
Yeah, man. Because that Louis Theroux is the master of that, isn't it? And I definitely see that in your style.
Yeah, I've got his book right here in front of mine.
I've really read it. Well, I mean, I listened to it.
Yeah, I've listened to it. Yeah, it's really
amazing. It doesn't count, guys.
It does. It's a fast track.
But I was reading a book about the history of the world at the same time. So
Well, I can't read and drive at the same time.
No, you can't.
So what's the plan for you? Do you feel like you want to do more telly stuff, or do you want to just create more stuff where you, like, I guess you've got more creative control over it?
Well, I'm really loving doing the cooking show as another format on my YouTube channel, because for ages I've wanted another format other than Chicken Shop Date on there, and I've built up the subscribers now that it seems, I think I was very interested in doing stuff on TV for a long time, not realizing that I had this really engaged audience already on my YouTube channel, and all my audience watch stuff on the internet, like primarily, like so I think it didn't click for a while, and then suddenly it did. Oh, why don't I just use the money I've been making to make another series on my own channel? So I want to carry on building up the cooking show and carry on doing Chicken Shop Date with, and broadening out the kind of guests that I have on there. Like, I've loved having some comedians on. I've loved also having people like Jade from Little Mix, even Slow Tie's a bit different, and then also having people like Digga D. But then I think what I'd love to do is, I'm trying to write a script, and I've been trying to get into writing for like the past year, but it's been a slow process, or maybe I just thought it would happen really quickly for me to be able to write a script.
You did your short film, right?
Yeah, so I did a short film last year, but I just didn't know anything about creative writing. I was never good at it at school. I've never written anything like a short story or anything like that. Didn't know anything about structure or all of these terms. And so I've just been spending a lot of time trying to learn how to write a story, doing online courses, doing like physical courses. I went on a workshop just before lockdown on short story writing. And I'm just trying to learn as much as I can, so I can eventually write a script of a TV show.
There's that proactiveness again, isn't it?
Yeah. I just think I just need to be like learning more. I just feel like I never know enough.
No, that's sick. You're going about the right way, like doing like putting together a short film, creating that and writing that is like the best way forward, because it's like you're kind of just teaching yourself on the job, you know?
Yeah, that's my ambition really, like in the end, to be writing some scripts.
Amazing.
But I'm loving the process of learning about writing at the moment. And then TV, I think an entertainment format would be great, but it's just such a slow process and so hard to do that I'm actually quite happy doing that on my YouTube channel for now.
I mean, it's a YouTube different era, is more powerful, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Then like, you get more views on YouTube than you would on Channel 4 or BBC,
you know. But shout them out too.
Yeah,
yeah, of course.
And I think I feel like if I carry on doing my own thing, people, like the commissioners, will have to take notice, they will then it will get to a point when I might be offered something rather than me having to go through the painstaking process of pitching.
Or
I will pitch and then they'll say yes quicker because I'll have more of a a catalogue of other work.
Yeah, you're basically like an independent rapper that's going to have labels fighting for you.
Exactly.
Bidding war.
Yeah, exactly. No, but it is a different era now. Like, you'll probably get to a point where you're like, actually, I don't need that because I could just create it myself for YouTube. You know what I mean? It's like,
it is true. I just feel like there is still like a kind of hierarchy in terms of the TV channels. There's some like glitz around them still. As a writer or as a creative person, there's still something to be said about having a TV show.
It's like acknowledgement and
Do you know what it is? It's a nostalgic thing. We're from a generation where I wonder if a kid that was raised on Snapchat and TikTok and YouTube would ever give a fuck about that if they were a writer. Do you know what I mean? Like,
we're from a generation where
like it was like an accolade to be on TV and have a TV show. Do you know what I mean? But it is changing, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Definitely. It's changing. I still feel that you do get a lot of support, though. Like, I mean, you know, you guys being on BBC Three, like, there's like an infrastructure there where they're pushing your program out.
Yeah.
And there's like a press team. I don't know. From the outside, it seems like you're part of a bigger machine. Yeah.
But so is YouTube. YouTube's a bigger machine than that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
like, we didn't get that push from them initially. We pushed it ourselves.
Yeah. But the thing is,
made them take notice.
I think the difference is that you have to put more work in if you want to do it yourself and put it on YouTube. It is exactly like that label and independent thing. Do you know what I mean? It's like you've got to get the contact, you've got to get a team together.
Yeah. Also, one other thing I've been thinking about as well is all of the awards are still very focused on TV. And film.
Oh, God, that's embarrassing.
Instead of online, is that an award in the background?
Yeah, Royal Television Society Award. Actually,
exactly.
Better than BAFTAs.
You've also won a BAFTA, so.
Yeah, exactly.
But these awards, they still mean so much. And they are like, I think they're a way of like people taking note of your show legitimizing it in some way. And those are still very much
more opportunities off the back.
Yeah,
of it.
And they're still very much set within the TV world.
Yeah, you're right, man. It's kind of, we're at that kind of crossroads where it is going to change, but we're still in the middle
basically,
of it.
Basically, what I'm trying to say is, why hasn't Chicken Shop Date won a BAFTA?
It's true though. It's quite prehistoric that they haven't got an online thing, you know, like a YouTube thing or whatever.
I mean, I know. I've been writing many an email.
Yeah, well, we'll have a word anyway.
Yeah, have a word.
We've got a direct line.
I know you do.
It comes inside the statue.
It's a phone in the statue,
A phone,
lipstick phone.
What do you feel like the future holds now? Because obviously everything's changing, but I guess as creatives, we always kind of can convert what we do into different things. That's why we're doing a podcast, obviously.
Bounce back.
Yeah, bounce back.
Yeah, maybe I'll do a podcast.
Yeah, sick.
Why not?
Maybe the podcast could be a way forward.
Yeah.
But do you mean like in general for everyone?
I mean for you. Yeah.
Yeah, well, as I said, I think I'm just going to carry on making content. I mean, all my stuff is...
Sorry, I forgot to ask as well. Talking about content, you are a TikTok queen now. I've looked on your TikTok profile. You've got so many followers, man.
I'm blushing right now. TikTok queen, yes.
Yeah.
I'm loving TikTok. Yeah. That's what got me through January.
Yeah, that's
I was learning a TikTok dance for the whole of January.
Yeah.
And it was just the most stupid dance ever. And it was so hard. And I'm so bad at dancing, so it was technically very challenging for me. And it just put me in such a good mood.
Yeah,
like just doing some dancing. And I've never laughed as much as, you know, spending an hour on TikTok. It really is like belly laughs of just normal people. Everyone's just just doing the funniest things.
Yeah. No, that's sick, man.
Filming their family. So I think TikTok is the future. That is my prediction.
All right, and sweet. So now we've come to the part of the show, which for me is very close to my heart. It's one of my favourite bits. What's your favourite sandwich?
What's the part of the show? The sandwich. What's your favourite sandwich?
Yeah. Okay.
It's like one of those celebrity shows we were talking about before.
My favourite sandwich is maybe just the ham sandwich from,
dry,
from like any of the supermarkets.
Okay.
No way. That's the worst one we've ever had, Amelia.
Is it?
Yeah.
That is mustard? That is what I go to. No, I don't have mustard in there, no.
Mayonnaise in it?
No, it's I think it's called simple ham. It's literally white bread with the ham in it.
Fucking hell. And do you know that's the ham that smells like egg when you open up the pack?
Yeah.
No, I don't open up the pack.
It's like for children.
I mean, do you mean open the sandwich?
No, like that's the ham, the wafer thin ham that you get in like the packs that smell of egg.
Yeah, I love wafer thin ham.
Yeah, it's on brand for your cooking show, isn't it, for your character?
That's my sandwich, is the ham sandwich.
That's amazing. You know what? I respect that that's the deadest one we've ever had as well, because it means you've almost... That's an award in itself.
How could it be the deadest one? Like, what else have you had? People have... Someone said tuna.
Your tuna melt, which I'm not a fan
tuna
of.
Tuna melt.
I do quite like a tuna melt, but I think I've got to go for the ham.
Tuna melt is popping. A lot of people.
I didn't even think about the toasted element of it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Mm. I could probably toast my simple ham though and it would be delicious.
All right, do you know what? Because your answer was so shit, I want to hear a top three. I just want to hear how your mind works now. Yeah.
Okay, top three, I would say, I think second's probably cheese and tomato.
Just dry.
White
as
English.
It sounds.
Yeah,
the cheese and tomato. And then, maybe a cheeky tuna. Tuna melt.
Fucking
you
hell.
You put it in my head now.
That is the driest triple sandwich selection.
I'll put tuna melt up there.
Yeah. I do like do you know what? One of my guilty pleasures, Amelia, is just toast the bread and cut up blocks of cheese and bone dry cheese sandwich.
Yeah. I don't mind that.
That's hideous.
I can't believe
you were laughing at my simple ham.
Yeah, but I wouldn't put that in my top three.
So dry.
Yeah. That's what I do when I sneak and no one sees me, sort of vibes.
Oh, you know what I actually did have the other day was tuna and salad, and that was quite good.
I love that's exotic for you. Chucked a few leaves in.
Usually
it's incredible.
Quite good.
Yeah, that was quite good.
Okay, yeah. Well, let's leave this segment now. You're very disappointed.
I like that one.
No, but I do like that it was disappointing, though.
Yeah.
Because it's never been that disappointing.
On brand.
You know, on my TikTok, actually, I get loads of random comments. Yeah. And the last one I got, which was today on my latest dance, was if well done steak was a person.
Oh shit.
It's about me.
That reminds me, you do get some funny comments like on your
YouTube. One was if watery ketchup was a person.
Steak.
Do I give off? I give off that vibe. I mean
your top three sandwiches give off that vibe, put it that way.
It's true.
All right, sweet. And now we've got to the most important part of the show, which is probably why everyone's listening. The three questions. You've got to ask us three questions each.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know this.
It can be the same question for both of us.
Big bloody time. Yeah, we don't like to do any prep, Amelia. We just like to throw you in.
Okay, am I asking three individual questions to both of you?
Up to you.
It's up to you.
Right. How many pillows do you sleep with?
That's a sick question.
One, but I have one on the side that I kind of put, because I don't like my knees touching for some reason. And that's a recent thing. So I put it in between my legs.
Okay. He has a rash where his knees usually touch.
My God.
Yeah.
The skin's
leg hairs just get matted.
The skin's just worn down and you need a cotton pillow in between.
My leg hairs are like matted dreadlocks.
Nice. Delightful.
Mine, Amelia, I basically have four pillows on my bed, just for looks. I like the four when the bed's done, And I like to have it as an option. But because of my neck and back, I've been just fucked when I sleep, because I sleep in mad positions. I have like a really thin one just to sleep on, but then the thicker one goes in between my legs as well. I like to straddle something.
Wow, that's a lot of pillows.
Yeah.
That's a lot of pillows. Well, that's good to know. I was really thinking, I was really wondering that about you guys.
You were really worried about that, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was. My second question is, where do you want to go when the travel ban is lifted?
They've asked that as well, but it's a new era.
What?
Yeah, yeah. No, but that was last year. I've got a new one.
Okay, go.
I am going to Thailand.
Thailand.
For a couple of weeks with my girl.
Kapung Kap.
So, yeah.
Nice. That'd be cute. I've never been to Thailand.
I know, because do you know what? I've been like 4 times back in the day, and then it got bait, but I feel like now everyone's going to Dubai and places like that, and it's freed up again.
Oh, God, you don't want to go to Dubai.
Nah, so like Thailand's freed up again for like the original OGs to go back there. And I'm not talking about full moon party and all that. I mean, like just the chilled out places. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Too old for that now, man.
No, I'm not too old.
You can't be.
No, I'm not too... I'm their age.
Can't be there with a butterfly face paint on the side of your face.
I could if I wanted to. I'm their age. It's not because I'm too old.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah, yeah. That's true. I would like to go Vietnam,
actually. Oi! My favourite country in the world. Sick.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And really, I want to turn that question on you, actually. Where do you want to go?
Oh my God, wait, I thought we were done with questions
just,
of me. Now
quickly,
I've got one
go,
more.
Go.
Just a quick destination.
I want to go to New York. I was meant to go, be going to New York, but then
we
couldn't. So I want to go
baby.
To New York.
New York's amazing. Yeah. I can't
New
wait
York,
to go.
The Big Apple.
All right, question 3.
Oh my God. Have I got one more?
Big bloody time.
You know, this is like a real anxious thing for me. This is my worst fear, is being like not knowing what to ask.
Yeah, good.
In terms of questions.
We like to keep you in a constant state of light anxiety.
Mm. Control.
Okay. What's your favourite body part of your body part?
Oh, that's a good question.
God.
It can be internal organs as well.
I really love my intestine. It's great. I'd probably say my face, my eyes, because they're beautiful. They're almost green in some nights. And Emilio agrees.
I wish I could see that. It's very blurry, the connection.
Yeah, nice.
Yes.
No, and then probably my legs. Got beautiful legs, I've been told.
Oh, okay.
Legs up to my chin.
Mm. Ooh, that sounds sounds strange.
It's like a weird body shape. But that's just how I roll. No body shaming here.
You look like a German racehorse, as you say.
Yeah, exactly. What about you, Hugo?
I don't think
I
have a
fuck you part. Come on, get the love up.
Honestly,
don't be so modest.
I'm not being modest.
I've seen your dick, it's great.
I don't know,
say eyes, because what about that time when we was in LA and you went to a Starbucks and the woman behind the desk was like, oh my God, your eyes are incredible. And
wow.
I was fuming that she didn't say it to me.
What about your knees?
Yeah, yeah. Good knees. Solid knees, actually. Solid knee slide. Yeah.
What about when someone in America also said you look like Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Basketball Diaries. Yeah. Like, but after,
great
still
film.
On heroin.
Yeah.
Deep
yeah.
in.
Okay. On that bombshell, let's leave it. Thank you very much, Emilia. We've got one last question for you. We ask all our guests this. Are you our new best friend now?
I thought I was always your best friend.
Exactly. Great answer. Nice one, Emilia.
Thank
you. Big ups.
Thank you so much for having me on the podcast.
This is the outro. See you later. And good luck. Stay lucky, boy. Stay lucky, boy.
Well, there you have it. How you feeling, man?
Oh, I'm feeling like I want to go get some chicken.
Ooh,
all right.
Yeah, man. It was amazing. Great episode. Really fun. This is one of the first times we've actually recorded the outro straight after the episode as well. So it's genuine.
Yeah. Yes. That real energy.
I can see the genuine beads of sweat on your head, boy. You were working. I was
feeling
that.
Yeah.
I was feeling your energy.
I wish I was sweating.
Yeah. Well, you can always go for a run. You probably need one.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not wrong. Do some sort of exercise soon.
Exactly. But yeah. So there we go. That was Emilia. And you can obviously check out all her chicken shop dates on YouTube. You can check out a documentary about the Markles. Yeah.
Yeah.
On 4OD. Her new cooking show as well.
Vice.
Exactly. It's all there, man.
She's about.
That's what I'm saying. Big up Emilia and big you lot up, you dirty little shit munchers.
Yaga.
See you later.
See ya.
Hey yo! Will everyone shut the fuck up? I want to give a crazy, stupid, dope fly shout out to everyone involved in this podcast.
Nah, fuck that. Who's the brain that produces this show, man?
Man like Rupert Magendie.
And who's the audio editor?
James Torrance, check
it. House. Who's the video editor?
Ha ha, James Lord.
And who does all the illustrations?
It's Alison the Ink.
Mad on the visuals, bruh.
Shout out all the posse down at Acast Laboratory. Hip-hop, hip-hop. Am I right, hustler?
You're not wrong, Playboy Valentino.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.